You know, you're a pretty good-looking group this morning. A little different. We're a little different, right? A little special. Are we special this morning? Yeah, we are. Peter tells us that we are special. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 through 10, he says, we are a special people. We're a little different because of Jesus. Because of Jesus, we are different in the way that we are together. The way that who we are when we are together. It's a wonderful blessing to be together in Christ Jesus and to be in fellowship with one another. Romans chapter 12 and verse 5 talks about us being many in one body. One body in Christ Jesus, but individually members to one another. We're all different. We're all special. But we're all one. We're all special then as one in Christ Jesus. Thus we have a special bond or a tie that binds us together. In number 656 in the Red Book, we sing the song, Blessed Be the Tie That Binds. My thoughts this morning are going to come from those words that were penned by a man by the name of John Fawcett in 1782. I'd like to use his words to kind of give us direction and some considerations this morning when we think about how we are bound together in Christ Jesus, the fellowship that we have, and the importance of it. Verse 1 says, Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. I'd like for us first to consider what the bind does not do. It is not this. It is not an earthly tie. Nothing earthly about this bond whatsoever that we have in Christ Jesus. It's not a friendship. It's not a marriage. It's not a family. The tie that binds us is not a social or a physical tie whatsoever. Rather, it is spiritual. And this tie that we have is not like earthly ties, which can be easily broken, such as separation or divorce in a marriage case, earthly, yes, or incompatibility. We're not all compatible with one another, are we? We're all different. And you think about the apostles, whenever they were together, they weren't compatible in many different ways. They're all different. You had Peter, who was this mouthy type of guy that just blurted in and done things. And then you have John, who laid upon the breast of Jesus. Completely different personalities and incompatible in many ways. And we're that way too. But that's an earthly sense. That's an earthly tie that we're thinking of. We're a diverse group. But the tie that binds is bound together in love. That's what bonds us together. That is what keeps us together in Christ Jesus. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 14, it speaks of this love. I'd like to read that. Colossians 3 and verse 14 says, But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. You see, brethren, without love, we can't be bound together as God wants us to be. Because of those differences that we have. Because of those incompatibilities that we seem to have in our groups. I like the way that a different translation put it. It says, it binds everything together in perfect harmony. Love gets us all kind of gooey, doesn't it? And it gets us sticky and gets us stuck together to where we can't be pulled apart by any physical or earthly thing. And this love is the love that comes from God. It's not an earthly love. You see, earthly love fails. Earthly love is conditional. And earthly love will hold grudges. Earthly love will make us hate one another at some point in time. and not want to be bound together. But God's love is unconditional. And when then there is struggles and trials among us, there's not an issue or concern about those separations. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. You probably have 1 John 4, 7, and 8 memorized. But let's go there and look at it. 1 John 4, 7 through 11. Beloved, let us love one another for the love of God. For love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. So this bond that we have in love is God's type of love. It's this powerful love that holds us together and will keep us that ooey-gooey type of group and sticking together in all sorts of situations. And 1 John chapter 3, 16 says, by this we know love, because He laid down His life. So we have an example of Jesus sacrificing Himself, and He says, this is how we know love, because Jesus sacrificed, He laid down His life, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. Are we willing to sacrifice our life for one another, for the sake of our bond? Are we willing to sacrifice our days, if need be, our evenings, our vacations, our time, our careers? Are we willing to give for one another so that we can be bound together as one, as God wants us to be? And Jesus even said in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, that we will be known as a disciple by our love for one another. That's how people are going to see that we care about each other. We love one another is because we show it towards one another. It is love, then, that makes us unique in our tie that binds us. The tie that binds our heart in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. See, this tie involves a unity which is what Jesus prayed for. If you remember in John chapter 17, Jesus prays for three things at the end of His ministry, and this truly could be the example of the prayer, Jesus' prayer. First, He prays for Himself as He's going to the cross. Secondly, He prays for the disciples that are on the earth at that point in time. Thirdly, He prays for us, those who would come later. And when He prays for us in that manner, He makes a statement that, Lord God, I pray that they will be like You and I, bound together in unity, having this tie that bonds them above. So the fellowship of us, of kindred minds, is like to that above, being like God and Christ. It involves a unity of mind. And Paul prayed for this also in Philippians 2:2. He said, fulfill my joy by being like-minded. So, when Paul wrote to the brethren in Corinth, he wrote to them in the first chapter, in the 10th verse, about the need of not being divided. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10. Paul said, now I plead with you, brethren. It's just not a statement. This is begging them. I plead with you by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ that you all speak the same thing and there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. Paul wanted this so bad among those brethren. Be joined together. Be bound so tightly in God, just as God and Jesus were. The tie that seeks to emulate the unity between the Father and the Son is strong, and it is unbreakable. And that's what God wants us to have. So that's verse 1. Verse 2 talks about before our Father's throne, we pour our ardent prayer. See, the first verse talks about how this is done or what it looks like. Now the rest of the song kind of talks about how it is done, how we form these bonds, what do? And the first thing he says is prayer. And prayer is definitely a blessing to have, to be able to go to God through Jesus Christ, our mediator, and be able to talk to him. But what about? Who about? It's a privilege and a great blessing, as Hebrews talks about. Well, the song depicts a frequent and a fervent prayer for one another. Praying for one another is definitely seen in Scripture. In James chapter 5 and verse 16, it talks about the necessity of confessing to one another. And the brother last week did an excellent job of bringing out the need for that. But in that same verse in 5 and 16, it speaks of praying for one another so that we may be healed. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And when we know there are things going on in one another's lives because we have this bond, this tie, then we can pray for one another to help us overcome and to help us be healed and to give us strength and help us pass on through the trial that might be before us. Pray that you may be healed. In Acts chapter 12 and verse 5, when Peter was in prison, remember the people that were in the house, what they were doing, the Christians? They were in constant prayer for Peter. And as the story goes on, the angels let Peter out of jail, and he comes to the door, and the young lady answers the door, and she forgets about him, just runs back in. It's kind of a fun story to look at. But they were praying for him. They were praying for him continually. And not only praying individually for one another, but what about praying together as a group? We kind of get stuck in a rut sometimes, and we pray before the service, for the Lord's Supper, and at the end of the service. There may be needs sometimes that we have to, as a group, pray because of some situation, some brother or sister's in need, and fervently pray for them as God expects us to do so. There's examples of it. It's scriptural. In Acts, the first chapter, in verse 14, after the apostles had seen Jesus ascend into heaven, they were gathered together, and what were they doing? They were praying together. Continuing in Acts, chapter 2, in verse 42, after Pentecost, after 3,000 people believed, repented, and baptized, what did they do? They spent time together in fellowship, in breaking of bread, and in prayer, didn't they? They continued steadfastly in that. In chapter 12 and verse 12, we see that Christians gathered together to pray for Peter. Same example as the story I used a second ago. They were gathered praying for him because there was a need. In the last example, when Paul was leaving Tyre, they stood upon the shore before he got onto the ship, and they gathered together and prayed. There's nothing that will bring us together stronger than speaking together to God. And if we have a need, it's scriptural for us to strengthen one another and strengthen that tie through prayer. There's benefit to it, and it will bind us up even closer together. So verse 2, before our Father's throne, we pour our ardent prayers. Our fears, our hopes, our aims are one, our comforts and our cares. We're bound together as one in our fears, our hopes, our aims and comforts, and our cares are all one too. We have similar concerns and desires because we are humans. Just because we are man and woman, we have certain things that we fear, or things that we enjoy, or things that we are concerned about. The Bible teaches us about fear. And you can say, well, Alan, the Bible says don't fear. Oh, but who are we to fear? God. Don't fear him who can kill your body, but kill him, kill you and your soul, right? So fear God. Perfect love casts out fear. But yet, I have fear. I'm afraid at times because of certain things in my life. And one thing that really scares me One thing that I fear most in my life is the chance or the possibility of one of my children or someone else's child being abducted or molested in some manner. What a fearful thing to think about. Devastation comes to family. Devastation comes to individuals. I fear that for all children. It's a serious thing to think about. Recently was exposed to the term child grooming. And let me read you a definition that I've taken off of Wikipedia about this. And I encourage you, brethren, to investigate this yourself and to become aware of this situation that's happening in our nation, because it is serious and it is happening. The definition that is written says, child grooming is befriending and establishing an emotional connection with a child and a family to lower the child's inhibitions so that some sort of molestation could take place. What a scary thing to think that someone could become close enough and use association and opportunities to cause a child to become comfortable enough with them that they don't even think a thing of it when the next step is taken. That's a fearful thing. Jesus tells us in Matthew, the 10th chapter, in verse 16, to be wise as serpents, yet harmless as doves. It's our responsibility to be aware and to notice situations with our children. And if this is happening, to take the next step to make sure it doesn't happen. Because before our eyes, someone is going to be hurt. There's fears, and we should all have those fears together as one. There's hopes, and there's aims, and there's comforts, and there are cares. Simply because we are humans. But there also are those things because we are fellow citizens in the kingdom of God. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 that we have a living hope through Jesus Christ. And that's one of those blessings, is being bound together in Jesus, having hope. And then in 1 Peter chapter 5 verses 8 and 9, where he talks about the devil roaring about trying to devour whoever he can. Let's go there, because I want to look at verse 9 in 1 Peter chapter 5. He says, be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. These same things are happening to all of us, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by each other. Oh yeah, because we're bound together, we have these same similarities. These same things happening to us. The devil's always seeking who he may devour, and we will suffer together. That's verse 2. Fears, hopes, aims are one, and comforts in our cares. Verse 3 says, we share our mutual woes, our mutual burdens bear. As Christians, we are to bear one another's burdens. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2 talks of that. I want you to think about and consider the possible burden of persecution. Is there persecution in your life? The Scripture says that all who are faithful in God will suffer persecution, right? I'm giving a talk next month, actually in July, at the two-week meeting. And they've asked me to speak on persecution. And I need your help. Because I don't know what persecution looks like for us. Have you had examples or have you had things in your life that you feel you have been persecuted as a Christian? Help me out. So if you have something, please bring that to me. Let me know about it. Because I need some things to help get my mind going in preparing some thoughts for the brethren so that we can be bold in persecution. There's definitely people that have been persecuted. I'd like to know what your examples are to give me some ammunition to go on. What does persecution look like to us? Well, if we have persecution among our brethren, it's our responsibility then, because we are bound together in Christ Jesus, to bear that with one another and share that with one another so that we can help each other get over that. This tie that we have in Christ is surely a blessing, and He will help us in those burdens that we bear. And often for each other flows a sympathizing tear, is the remainder of that third verse. Because that is how God composed the body of Christ, is to rejoice and to cry, right? To be there whenever there's happiness, to be there when there is sadness. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians 12, 24 through 26. We'll start there in the latter part of 24. But God composed the body, speaking of this body, the body, the church, having greater honor than the part which lacks it, that there should be no schisms or divisions in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Have you ever noticed that if you have something ailing you, if your back hurts, the rest of your body suffers too? Yeah. You hit your thumb with your hammer, with a hammer, the pain surges through the entire body. You feel it, right? If you tickle someone's foot, they laugh, don't they? The whole body is affected. And they're squirming, trying to get away from that tickling sensation. The body of Christ should be no different. If Bob feels pain, we all should feel pain. If Alan feels joy, I would hope that we all feel joy, because we are connected and this tie has got us bound up so close together. What a blessing to be able to rejoice with those who rejoice and to weep with those who weep. An emotional but effective demonstration of the bond that we share. The final verse describes the impact of this tie that binds us. And when it comes to the time when we start to separate, when we asunder part, it gives us inward pain. There's no doubt that in 5 years, if not less, this picture of this congregation will look different because of those who may pass on from us. Age is sneaking up on some of us. Death is going to happen. But when we have a bond together, such as in Christ Jesus, there will be sorrow and there will be pain because of the loss of someone that we love. When Paul was with the Ephesian elders getting ready to depart, they recognized that they would never see him again. And because of that, in Acts chapter 20, and verses 36 through 38, we read of what they did. And when they had said these things, they knelt down and prayed with them all. And they all wept freely and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words that he spoke, that they would see his face no more. And they accompanied him to the ship. The day's coming when we're going to have to fall upon necks of one another because of sorrow. of losing a brother or sister, young or old, infant or elderly. It will happen, and we need to have a bond that ties us together tightly when those times come. We can share and we can care for one another in our pain and suffering. But we shall be joined in heart and hope to meet again, is the last part of the fourth verse. We might be separated in the flesh, but as we read in Colossians 2 and 5 this morning, Paul said to the brethren there, I will be with you in spirit. The memories that come, the teachings that come, we've talked about Tom Woody all of a sudden here in the past couple weeks, and about the things that he did, the way that he was, the person, his here in spirit still with us, remembering those things. And we likewise will have that among our own congregation. We are comforted by a wonderful hope of spending eternity with them. And it's made possible by the resurrection of Christ and our faith in Him. In this hope, in this is hope, which keeps our hearts joined together. And when other bonds fail, this one will not. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 14 says, beyond all things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Brethren, let's get tied up. We've got to get stuck together. We've got to have that bond of perfection so that we can overcome all those situations that come before us in our lives, and we can help one another, and we can give one another encouragement. I hope you've been encouraged this morning. You have a need this morning. You want to get bound up? I think it's time to bind. Why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song of encouragement.